good to be here today, and we praise God for your presence, for everybody here with us this day. I'd like to give you a report on the work that we did in Massachusetts. I was up there for 2 weeks, and we did a lot of home Bible studies. They had them set up and waiting for me when I got there, and there was like seven people baptized the week that I was there, and three the week before I got there. This morning we want to begin in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, if you have your Bibles, you might want to read along with me. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" I want you to notice that when Jesus had read the scripture that was prophesied concerning him, he closed the book. That closing of the book was symbolic and very significant. If we think about what Christ did there. Actually, Christ, he closed the book on all the books of the Old Testament books. We want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. In Isaiah chapter 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good things unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, all of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." And Isaiah goes on. And there are many prophecies in Isaiah about Christ. But I want you to realize that Isaiah did not close the book or the writings about Christ. But Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies that were written concerning him. Isaiah left the prophecies open for more writings to come. And so did Jeremiah and Amos and all of them that we read back there in Malachi and all. But Jesus closed the book. He finalized it. In Matthew 5 and 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Christ came to fulfill all things that were written in the law. In verse 18, he says, "For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." All that was written, beginning with Genesis all the way down through Matthew, all of the things that were written in the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He brought it to a completeness. The word "fulfill" doesn't mean to destroy. As Jesus said, "I'm not come to destroy the law, but I've come to bring it to a completeness." to fulfill it. When you fulfill something, you've completed it. He brought it to its completeness. And all the books there were left incomplete. But Jesus completed it. You know, more could be read and more could be written into each of them. And all of them with open books were things pointing to the future. But Christ closed them all. With the coming of Christ, all was fulfilled, and he closed the Old Testament books. It just says in Colossians 2:14 that he nailed it to the cross. God is gradually revealed, as you read in Genesis, all the way through here, he's revealed in the Old Testament little by little by little. And then Christ is the last revelation. In him, God is fully revealed. All the will of God has come in for Jesus Christ, and it's all brought to completeness in him. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, we want to start reading with verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in times past and the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And so we see that he spoke in times past to the prophets, and he appointed all things through whom he made the world, and talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and expressed image of his person, Jesus was the brightness of God and expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by him purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by the inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see that Jesus has brought all of these things fully to a fully completeness. The fullness of God is revealed in him. And Christ is the final word of God. He's the final word of God to man and for man. There will be no more. When Christ came, he spoke of God's will. He established his church and gave the guidelines and teachings concerning his kingdom to his apostles. And we look not for another kingdom. There's not another kingdom to look for. There's not any more teachings to look for. Christ closed the book on it all, and it's completed. I'll turn to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16. I want to start reading verse 18. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus here says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so he's telling Peter that he's given him the keys to the kingdom, and whatever he does binds in the kingdom, that will be bound, and whatever he loosed will be loosed in the kingdom. And the teachings that Peter and the apostles did, they completed the teachings of Christ, and the books were closed. There's no more to be written. There's no more to be bound. There's no more to be loosed. In John chapter 16, in verses 12 through 14, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So Jesus told his apostles that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth into them, to guide them into all truth. We don't look for any more truth. They had it all. What they wrote in the books that we read here in the New Testament was all truth, and there's no more truth to be revealed. It's all been completed. And Jesus fulfilled it and brought it to a close, and he closed it. He said, this is it. This is all truth. You don't look for anything new. You don't look for anything more. And he sent them with the Holy Spirit that they would teach and say and do the things that he wanted taught. And he would set up his church the way he wanted it built. He would build the church as he designed it. He said, I'll build my church. And he built this church through the actions and the teachings of those holy apostles. And there was nothing to be changed about it when it was completed. We cannot, nor do we need to, look for further truth to be revealed. The apostles were guided into all of it. In the words they wrote, that is the truth, and there be no more revelations given. And whatsoever they did in setting up the church, and they established the church, and the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church is built and established by them. And the book was closed. Jesus didn't leave it an open book for man to keep writing and changing things, to coming up with new ideas and inventions and new ways. Turn over to, if you will, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we'll begin reading verse 16. Well, let's back up. Let's start up here. We'll start with verse 12. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. In verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we see the finality of this book. Jesus closed it. He put an end to it. He said it could not be any more added to it. There was to not be anything taken away from it. But it all was completed. And the story and the history and the work of the church is not closed yet. But what it's to do, the function, the way it operates, the writing, the orders given by the holy apostles, the order of his kingdom and the church, that was closed. You know, many chapters of history to be written concerning the church. We pray for it to be done yet in the future. We look at the world history of things. Many things have been written in the past about history. Many things will be written in the future about history. It's not all sealed and closed yet. There's wars and rumors of wars. Great men and small will live and have lived. And at the end of each, Christ will write finished. At the end of each, he says, he closes the book. God closed the book on Egypt way back when, that it'd never be that kind of a nation again. God closed the book on Babylon. He closed the book on Media Persia. He closed the book on Greece. Once Greece ruled the whole world by a man whose leader was named Alexander the Great. And he closed the book on that. And it's closed, not to ever be opened again. He closed the book on many world leaders in history and many kingdoms. And each of us have a life. We have a life which we live, and one day Jesus will close the book on our life, for he is the judge of us all. Of all the great men you could ever think that ever lived or died, Christ closed the book on them in the past. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we all going to stand before Christ. We're all going to give account of our life one day. And when it comes down to the end of our life and things will be closed and there'll be nothing else to be changed except for us to stand before this judgment seat. And In Malachi 3:16 it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." And then Revelation 14:12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from the labor, and their works do follow them." Will be a great day for us when we pass this life and we're with God, and we can stand up on that judgment day and be with Christ. In this situation, we will be blessed for those who have kept His commandments, who keep the commandments of God and the faith in Jesus Christ. But woe unto us if we're not. Look at Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and the reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." You see, Christ is the finality of all things. Jesus Christ is the one that shuts the book. And when the book shuts, that's the end. In Revelation 1:11, it says, "I say, and I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book." He told John to write in the book. Revelation 2:8, "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the words and the teachings of Christ, are the last word we're going to receive from God. The last promise of hope that's coming from God. There will not be another gospel. There will not be another grace being taught. For the book is closed. The gospel is closed. There's nothing to be added to it. The grace of God stops beyond that. There's no more to be added to what Christ has given us. There's none other to look for, none other way of salvation. There's no other church, no other kingdom, no other faith. The kingdom, the church, the faith is here now. It was delivered by God through His holy apostles, and we have it today, and it will not be changed. There will not be another book written from God, because Jesus closed the book. Acts 4:12 says, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is no other way. What Christ closes, no man can open. What God has shut, nobody will be able to open it ever again. You look back at what happened to Rome. Where is Rome? It's gone. Rome will never be again on this earth. And we look back at many great nations and people that have stood, like Napoleon. They're gone. They will not be again. In Revelation 3:7, Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith He that is holy, and He that is true, He that hath the key of David, He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Christ closed the door on many people. And many kingdoms have fallen. And we look at ours, the nation that we live in. It seems to be some dark days lying ahead. A lot of people that I mention things to, they say, "Well, it's just the beginning of the bad." I don't know, but I know one thing that I do know and understand, that Rome lasted about 200 years. We've been in our prime now 200 years. And all the nations that ever come before us, none have ever survived and remained a leading nation in the world like we have, as long as we have. And we need to think about what might be going to come next. There's going to come a time when God will close the book on this nation of ours and these people of ours, just like He has everybody else. It runs its course, and the time runs out. You know, the church, one day God will close the book on the church. The door is still open. Peter opened it. One day Christ will shut it. And when He's closed it, it will never be opened again. In Acts 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon. Those people were pricked in their hearts, said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter told them how to enter the kingdom. Acts 10, Peter went over and spoke to Cornelius in this household, and he said, "In any but forbid water, that these should not be baptized as well as we." And they were added into the kingdom. But one day, that door that Peter opened is going to be closed. It's like when the flood came. When the flood came, the people were out there living and laughing and having a good time, and nobody believed that the end was coming. Noah warned them about it, but they didn't believe him. And when he went into the boat, God closed the door. And when the waters began to rise, you know, people wanted in, but they couldn't get in. People wanted the door open so they could get in out of the rain to keep from flooding and drowning themselves in that water, but the door was shut by God and no man could open it. It's going to come a time when God will shut the door to the kingdom and nobody will be able to open it. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start reading verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward upward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the work that was therein shall be burned up." But I think about the flood. When the flood came, people never seen rain. They didn't think it was going to rain. They couldn't believe the whole world was going to be covered with water. So they paid no attention to Noah, and they went on about their lives having a good time. That's the way it's going to be when this day happens. People are going to be married and given in marriage. They're going to be having a good time, taking vacations, playing and fishing and hunting and working, and all of a sudden, it's going to be over. It'll happen like a thief in the night, he says. He says in verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" We need to live in our lives every day, realizing that God's coming back and taking vengeance on this world, and it's all going to burn. It could all be over tomorrow, but it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I know it's closer than it's ever been before. And if our nation has any dealings in it, you can see things going down. The morality, the character, the nature of the people, the witness of Christ. There are more and more people who don't believe. In verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All this is going to be dissolved. It's all going to be burned up. He says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We look for a better place, just like Noah did when he went up in that ark and the door was shut behind him. He was looking for that better place. Wherefore, beloved, seeing then ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. That's the kind of life we need to be living. Are you looking for that kind of life? Are you living that kind of life? You know, they're saying about summer's over and winter's coming on and we're not saved. Is our life right with Christ today? Have we obeyed the gospel of Christ today? You know, Christ is coming back, and he's coming in flaming fire. All the earth's going to be burned up and destroyed. All these things here, none of it's going to matter. But when he comes back, he's coming as a ball of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's what he says in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. We start reading here with verse number 7. He says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." What about your life today? Have you obeyed the gospel? You know, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, then scriptures teach us quite plainly that the vengeance of God rests upon you. It's not come upon you yet, But he's coming one day with his mighty angels and all power and fire to take vengeance on those that do not obey the gospel. I want to read to you in 1 Peter 3 about the gospel of Christ. Verse 18, he says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." There'll be nothing else said about that. Christ came according to the Scriptures, died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried in the grave according to Scripture. He was resurrected, and he's going to sit on the right hand of the Father. There's not going to be any other gospel. There's not going to be any other hope. And how do we lay hold of that hope? He tells us right here in the same chapter, verse 21, talking about how those who were destroyed with the flood and how they were saved by the water. Verse 21, "The light feed, one to even baptism, does also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to have a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." If you're here today and you never obeyed that gospel, you've never been buried with him in baptism to rise and walk a new creature, a new life in Jesus Christ, we give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And if you're here today, and maybe you've done that, but you haven't been living as you should, you need to repent and confess of your sins and ask for forgiveness of your sins, as he gives us this promise in Christ in 1 John 1 and 8. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you hear this morning? He says that God will call either way. We give opportunity to come and let it be known. We assist you in whatever way is needful in your life. Once you come, we stand and sing.